Good morning. I have been exposed to COVID, so Melissa and I are taking precautions. I got to see my grandson. The good news was I got to see my grandson on Friday. This morning he tested positive for COVID, so let's not share that, shall we? I also got a note from Paula. She's thinking about getting a horse. And she said, wouldn't that be wonderful? She said, I would name him Mayo. She said, and then you could go out in the field and the horse would see you and whinny and she'd say, mayonnaise. This is from Paula. I take no ownership. Rich Schneer is not here yet this morning. Their pastor at St. Mark's is leaving. And so they have a reception after worship to say goodbye to him. So Pastor Nick, the Reverend. And so he said he will be back here. He's got a pocket full of tickets for those of you who bought tickets to Faith Day with the Rockies. So have no fear, but trust. Michael, by way of announcements, if you've got a microphone, Deb Gunther has something to share with us. While we're getting to that, we welcome everybody that's online. We're online now. Paya is also ill. Diana Hunt's filling in for, so we're grateful for that. If you have a phone, this is a good time to silence those, which is what I'm remembering to do now. Maybe. Deb Gunther.
Good morning. Update on crop. I just got a check from Panda Express for $99, so thank you. And this week is August crop fundraiser at Applebee's on Islip from 11 to closing. And the flyers for Applebee's is in the narthex. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Ms. Deb. Other announcements? Seems like there was something else I needed to share with you. Please, Renee Verone.
I think that we should all take a moment to notice how incredible the gardens look. So for all the ladies that go out there and bake in that sun, thank you.
Thank you.
Yee-haw.
Yes. Ladies and gentlemen that do and take care of and keep the grounds, we are very, very, very grateful. In the bulletin, there are two errors, both of them mine. We will not be reading from Judges. We did last week. This will be Romans 10, verses 9 through 15. And the New Testament lesson is Matthew 14, 22 and following. If you have earmarked those in your bulletins or in your Bibles, and you're finding your way, they should be on the screen, correct? But just to let you know ahead of time that I made that error in the bulletin, didn't get that changed somehow. Other announcements, thanks for the good of the order. Holly is sitting over there, probably just because, maybe it's because I had COVID,
but
for whatever reason. So I think we're all set. No announcements, anything for you? All right. We have an announcement. Larry, Michael, could you bring a microphone down to Larry Conter?
Today's my grandson Rowan's 11th birthday.
Happy birthday.
All right. Grandson Roman? Okay. Others, anything else for the good of the order? Stand if you will. Wave hello. Good morning. Let's turn to a call to worship. Grace and peace to you, Holly.
Is her microphone on?
That was Paula.
I'm sorry. I couldn't resist saying that.
Did you do the All right, please join me in the call to worship. Lord, we stand in awe of you.
Lord, guide us to walk in a manner that reflects our awe of you.
Help us hear good fruit as we go,
that
we struggle with unconditional love, and you are with us in our struggle. Open a door, Lord, and give us strength to go through it. As we face each day,
may we be purified
and strengthened to offer Christ through the Holy Spirit. Amen. And now we're going to sing a song that you may not be familiar with, but join in anyways. we're going to do verses 1, 2, and 3 of O Come All You Faithful.
Thank you.
You know, but I'll get some then. It's okay. All right. You may be seated. I'm going to try this. All right. The first scripture, as Peter said, comes from Romans chapter 10, verses 9 through 15. If you confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For one believes with the heart and so is justified, and one confesses with the mouth and so is saved. The scripture says, no one who believes in him will be put to shame, for there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. The same Lord is Lord of all and is generous to all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. But how are they to call on one in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in one of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone to proclaim him? And how are they to proclaim him unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. The word of God for the people of God. All right, and now would you join me for the unison prayer? Lord God, gather with us. Oh, sorry, Peter's supposed to do that part. I'm taking over, and I need a break. So.
You want to, that sounded like you were into a good prayer. I'm ready for you if you would like, please.
Go for it.
You're trying to cough there, all right. It is a weird morning. I think it's Friday the 13th, come on a Sunday. I think is what's happening may be the case. By way of prayer concerns, we do have a bunch. As I expressed, COVID, my grandson Ryer is down with it, and Ryer is never down with anything, so you need to pray for Ryer and his mom and his dad, too, because there's going to be a wild time there. Rich Schneer, I warned you about. The people of Maui. In Hawaii, we lift the Polynesian people in total, but we lift those who have been a culmination of a hurricane winds with a dry and a fire that has devastated the community. The United Methodist Church there is gone. The pastor and his family did evacuate and are safe, but it is clear that there's no church left. As with, they said, what, a couple of thousand different structures. So a severe event. Be aware that UM Corps is already there. They will be talking to that very self-same pastor who evacuated and figuring out where we might be able to share our support the most effectively. Please give. Please share with our brothers and sisters who are in need there. Paya is under the weather and out. Stephanie is under the weather and out. So, and Holly is hanging on by a thread. So bless you, dear, for being okay there. Are there other, we see some of the other concerns on the back of the bulletin, and we want to continue to maintain those and pay attention and maintain those in our prayers. Do we have updates to any of those that we need to change? Or do we have other concerns? Mike, I see that Renee has her arm up.
This seems a little petty or small, but compared to what's going on in our world. But I take care of a feral cat colony. They're all fixed, they're all vaccinated. My neighbor, however, does not do any of that. Her colony just hit 20. And out of that, probably 12 of them are 4 months or younger, because she's got 4 females that just drop litters. I just want the words, I want his words to come through me and open her heart and her ears so that we can get this taken care of. There are organizations that will go out and trap these kittens, fix them, vaccinate them, and find them forever homes for the winter.
Okay. For our animal friends, for cats, and for people who
My sister has a lot of cats as well, so I'm aware of that situation. Ruella Contour.
I'd like prayers for my brother-in-law, Steve, who is having a really bad bout with his Crohn's disease right now, so all the prayers would be helpful.
Okay,
he's
for Steve.
He's got a lot on his plate at the moment, so.
Okay, thank you. Prayers for Steve with Crohn's disease. Painful disease, affliction. Others? It seems like a lot has happened in this week, and I'm sure I'm forgetting something, but that is not unusual with me. Any others? By way of birthdays, that's the one. Suzanne Marquez, her daughter-in-law, Kathy, is in an induced coma, very severe. And so there are prayers there for God's will, for comfort. Not sure what the end result of things is going to be, but Suzanne did leave a message on the phone last week and asked us to pray for her daughter-in-law, Kathy. By way of birthdays, Saturday was Melissa's birthday. Monday is her sister Sarah's birthday. So you see, we get birthdayed here all in one big... Viliami McConey will be 52 on Tuesday. Phyllis Thomas, on Wednesday, birthday. Sharon Hefner on Saturday. She's going to be 95 is what I have. Does that sound right? Okay. So... next Sunday, Rick Jasper's having a birthday, for those of you who are looking ahead. All right, we lift those. Jim Latow is waving his hand. I bet he claims to have a grandson or a granddaughter that has a birthday or something. Go ahead, Jim.
My granddaughter, Dominique, turns 30 tomorrow.
Dominique, 30.
She getting old.
Melissa's 42. What do you want to know here? Life goes on, doesn't it? The gift of time and God with this. Any others? Any other celebrations? I don't have any anniversaries of record, but we lift everybody. We celebrate those who are celebrating milestones and our ability to be here. Let's join in our unison prayer. Let us read responsibly. Lord God, gather with us in prayer. Blessed God, thank you for the blessing we have received in Christ. God chose us for adoption as his children through Jesus Christ. In Christ, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace that he lavished on us. In Christ, we have also obtained an inheritance. Thank God for this wondrous gift. Amen. I invite you to a moment of silence and prayer. Loving Lord, thank you for the beauty of the morning and for the beautiful flowers and the landscape around us and those who were tending to it. Thank you for the summer sunshine that warms us thoroughly. Thank you for the love of Christ that warms us and the Holy Spirit within us. Thank you for your light that brightens even the darkest moments. Lord, we've lifted some of those dark moments. We pray for our brothers and sisters in Maui. We don't want to forget the people struggling with war and flooding, the people in Canada with wildfires that persist. There are many. And Lord, you know them all through your love and your care, and we are grateful for your presence. As we come and gather, guide us that we might be about being a church that lives your faith, that lives as a body of Christ in the world, offering to reach out in ways that we are able, with the gifts among us. Thank you for our ability to reach out to people scattered via the internet, through our social media. We say hello to New York and to Washington and California, to New Mexico, to Arizona, to places we can't even imagine, and we give thanks for our bodies gathered together in the name of Christ. As we come and gather, Lord, we pause and lift our private prayers to you. And you hear the thoughts of our hearts. You know us before we ask, and you know our ignorance in asking. And we are grateful. Be with us, guide us, inspire us, lead us to truer fellowship and righteousness. Direct us. Fill us with the love that you give to us freely, that we might share that love with the world. And Lord, hear us as we lift our voices with other Christians in the Lord's Prayer, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Thank you for a moment of prayer and for our moment with God. Let's take a moment. Barbara, if you would lift us with our offertory.
Now, would you please stand for the second scripture, which is from the Gospel of Matthew. I read from Matthew chapter 14, verses 22 through 33. Immediately he made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of the other ahead to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But by this time the boat, battered by the waves, was far from the land, for the wind was against them. And early in the morning, he came walking toward them on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified, saying, "It is a ghost," and they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them and said, "Take heart. It is I, do not be afraid." Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." And he said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat and started walking on the water and came toward Jesus. But when he noticed the strong wind, he became frightened, and beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out his hand and caught him, saying to him, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. And those in the boat worshiped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
All right, and now we're doing.
We have our hymn. Steffi's not here, but Holly is going to help lead this. So let's get our calisthenics, our exercise for this morning, and sing along to Good in Every Way, Vacation Bible School. All right. Thank you, Holly. Thank you all. Well done. Well done. We miss Stephanie, but we'll make do. How did you like the sleigh bells this morning? Did it put you right in the spirit of Christmas trees and angel tops and twinkling lights and tinsel and carols? Did it put you in the mood? You guys. Well, the hymn had to do it. All ye come, all ye faithful. Didn't that do it? How many times do you suppose you've sung that in your life? Now, I remember when I was in elementary school, that was back in the days before that big worry about you couldn't sing anything possibly churchy in schools. And so I remember in grade school, elementary, we went down by in front of the office and sang carols, and they included all of them, and I'm sure O Come All Ye Faithful was in there. Do you remember singing that at different times over your lives? Wonderful song. And yet here it is, come, all ye faithful. But what? The question I have is, what about you unfaithful? Should we have another Christmas hymn that says, oh, come all ye unfaithful? But you know, I'm being facetious and silly a little bit, but how many really think about the words when they sing, oh, come all ye faithful? I would imagine you could walk around in a store at Christmas time and hear people singing and humming, oh, come all ye faithful. It's a beautiful carol. And do they think about their faith? You see, this sermon is about faith. That's why I picked, oh, come all ye faithful. I thought Barbara would get a kick out of it, singing a December-ish, Christmas-ish carol in the middle of August. I hope it also cooled you off and refreshed you. But this is about faith. Did you hear that in the scripture as well? There was There was the gospel lesson that Holly read. Peter sees Jesus out there and he says, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. Good old Simon Peter. And Jesus said to him, inspiring special magic words, what were they? Come. Come. That's a lot of instruction there, isn't it? That's a lot of definition. That's a huge theological phrase. Come. Simon Peter got out of the boat and starts walking across the water. That's pretty cool. He came toward Jesus, and yet the wind was blowing. The wind was beginning to blow a little bit, and he noticed the strong wind, became frightened, and began to sink. He cried out, Lord, save me. And Jesus immediately reached out his hand. Immediately reached out his hand and caught him, saying, you have little faith. Why did you doubt? This is Simon Peter, the big fisherman. This is the one who proclaims he will be there with Jesus. The faithful, he's the biggest cheerleader for Jesus there was, wasn't he? How much faith? If anybody had faith, it was Simon Peter. And yet, he began to sink. You see, he noticed the strong wind. He noticed the price of gas. He noticed the price of groceries. He noticed the political division in the country. He noticed gun violence. He noticed natural catastrophes. He noticed people on the streets. He noticed, wait a minute, I'm getting confused. That's not Simon. That's us, isn't it? That's us, that we notice those strong winds against us and we begin to doubt. So what is faith and where is faith? We are a Wesleyan church. It was John and Charles Wesley and some of his worshipers who had a strange method of worshiping that they got the nickname Methodists. It was a derisive term, but it caught it, and it's one we celebrate. We are Methodists because we follow some of where John Wesley has led us. And John Wesley was a fascinating person. Parts of John Wesley I love, parts of John Wesley just make me shake my head. But one thing about John Wesley was he was brutally honest. Brutally honest. I mean, he wouldn't tell you something unless it was deep within him. And someone said to him, what if you don't have faith? And he knew because he'd already been in this journey. He said, preach faith till you have faith, and then you can preach faith because you have faith. He wanted to be saved. He wanted that knowledge without doubt that he was saved. He had met Moravians on the shipboard while they were in the ocean, traveling back and forth between America, and he was actually on his way. But the Moravians said, we know we're saved. They were in the middle of a nasty storm. And John Wesley says, I want that. I want to know without any doubt whatsoever that I'm saved. So he was waiting for that. He got back from America. It was a horrible time. Terrible failure. And he was dispirited. He was in the doldrums. He was knocked off of his pedestal. He was really, really hurting. And his friends saw it, and they were worried about him. And they said, come, we're going to a Bible reading. And they were reading from Romans. I don't remember which verse. But while they were reading, John Wesley said he felt his heart strangely warmed. And he said, this is it. He says, now I know that God is with me. Now I am positive that I am saved. But in his brutal honesty for the rest of his life, he says, I'm pretty sure. But the doubts he was honest about. So there is some doubt there. What do we do with that? How much faith is enough faith, and how much doubt is too much? And where does faith come from? I grew up with faith. I did not grow up in the church, but I had parents who knew and believed and let me know. And so I knew, as a teenager, I decided I'd put God to the test. And then I was sitting in the living room, I can remember it vividly, and then there was a long set of full wall curtains sitting there, and I said, okay, Lord, I want to believe, just wiggle the curtain just a little bit to let me know for sure. Just give me a little wiggle there. Come on, Lord, just, it won't take much, nobody else will know at all. I just, there was no wiggling going on. There was a mathematician back in the age, I can't remember who he was, what his name was, but he was a mathematician and a theologian. For those of you who are online and joining us, Rich Schneer is here. Well, I guess that won't help you get tickets to the Rocky Games. At any rate, you've got tickets to the Rocky Games, so if you want to make connections. This fellow's a mathematician and a theologian, and so he wrote a mathematical proof of the existence of God. Not even the mathematicians really got on board with that one. Kind of a funny thing about that, you see, how do you have faith? Well, faith is believing without proof. I have a joke to tell you. The scientists were getting kind of uppity, the biologists, and new stuff was going on, and said, there's no God, we can make life right here on a test tube, is no sweat at all. And so God came down and said, well, let's have a little contest. Scientists said, okay. So God reached down and he took some mud and he began to fashion it and he created life there. And the scientists nodded and smiled. And so God looked at them and they started to reach down and God says, no, you get your own dirt. Where do things come from? This is not a proof. I love the joke. The proof is knowing without seeing. Blessed are those who believe but have not yet seen, Jesus said. In Romans, Paul's talking to people in Rome, and he said, if you confess with your lips that Jesus Christ is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Amen. But there's a lot of people that are more than happy to do that first part, but they get stuck on that backside. They seem to lead lives. They speak loudly. It reminded me of a finance treasurer I had in a previous church. He was a little bit bitter because he had worked with a finance chair that would stand up in church and just berate people for not giving enough in church. Boy, he was really the dickens. He got after people. The treasurer happened to know that finance chair did not give anything. Oops. So you proclaim with your lips, but if your heart is far from you there, then how do we do that and how do we lead that? And it's not a new phenomenon that some people will proclaim with their mouths. St. Francis said, preach Christ. Use words if you have to. He knew it. That problem was there all along. But here's Paul. He says, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. So there are some that are bringing good news. He doesn't say they're preaching good news. He doesn't say that they've written out or proclaiming or standing on soapboxes. But they are bearing Christ in some way, those beautiful feet of those who have walked the walk. Now, I grew up, as I said, my folks believed, and I, at a certain point in my life, I began to ask questions, do I believe or not? And the witness that I received over in the rest of my life has been those who have walked the walk, those people with beautiful feet, several of them that I never knew they were Christian at all. They didn't proclaim it. They didn't talk about going to church. Heck, one was a chair of one of his major chairs of his on a committee in his church, and I didn't even know that, but I knew him by his actions and by how he lived. He proclaimed Christ without words. I have never caught up with him to be able to tell him thank you But those are the witnesses that come and that help us. O come, all ye faithful. O come, all ye unfaithful. O come, all ye somewhere in between. Jesus is welcoming them all to that gathering, to celebrations and lifting Christ. Certainly all are invited. And there are a lot of people today that they're called nuns now. That's the official sociological term. When you take a survey, they say, are you Roman Catholic, or are you Jewish, or are you Islam, or are you Christian? And they have a list, and then at the bottom they say, none. These are the nuns. I'm serious. They're called the nuns. N-O-N-E-S. And they don't proclaim any denomination or any religion. But out of those, a majority still say they believe. The majority of those, they may not know much Bible. They may have experienced church at its worst. You see, that's the problem. The problem with churches is that it's made up of people. And by golly, we have feet of clay, don't we? You ever made a mistake? There we are. And people see that and say, well, you can't be Christian if you're making these mistakes, if you're making these errors, if you're doing these things wrong, if you're not living perfect lives, how can you possibly be? And we claim, sometimes erroneously, that we are walking the perfect walk, but we need to remember that we're not. But those people, they still have that little seed of faith, that mustard seed we talked about last week. Just enough that it can grow. Simon Peter had a lot more than that. Boy, his bush was huge, wasn't it? His faith was large. And I doubt if he had any doubts until he got out there in the water and the wind was blowing and the deep was below him and it caught up with him. That's okay. Jesus caught him. Jesus took his hand. I have to tell you that in my ministry, my deepest heartbreaks are for those families who broke from the faith, who quit the church when they had horrible losses, tragedies, deaths, seemingly meaningless. Car accidents with teenagers have always been the hardest. And young, innocent ones. And catastrophes. There was a woman who was a pastor of a United Methodist Church. Easter morning, the kids are in the children's processional and a tornado took out the wall of the church, killed her children. My heart breaks for those who step away from and say, this has got to be proof that there is no God. No, it's just that God is there in all that comes after. The people of Maui today, God is there now. There are people that they've never known, that they'll never meet, that are reaching out in ways, not because they should, and because it's legal, because you'll get a tax deduction, but because they care and they love. And they are following in their journey of faith. Oh, come all ye faithful, Christ calling everyone. All of those who are struggling, all of us, every day. Those who are sinking in the waters. And we can respond. By grace, we have been saved through faith. And this is not our own doing it. It is the gift of God. Amen? Amen. I'm going to ask Miss Holly and Miss Barbara to come up. Get back up here, get to work. We're going to sing from the Faith We Seem. Faith We Sing, that's a skinny book. This is Closer Walk, just a closer walk. Stand if you will, let's sing together. Thank you.
Well, how do I do picking hymns? Did they fit the theme for this morning? Did they fit together about a walk of faith and a journey? Remember to keep in your prayers those who are hurting, especially the fires. All of them are equally beloved of Christ, and God is with them. God, Son, and Holy Spirit with them, with us, and we are grateful. Amen?
Amen.
Join hands if you will. I'm not going to join hands with anybody. Melissa and I are going to separate out because of COVID, but join hands. Let's sing our closing. God's people said, Amen. Amen.